But really quick, before, you know, before we start, we've talked about this, we've continued to talk about it. We just want to be a church of prayer, amen? We want to continue to pray for people, continue to pray for things. And I didn't tell them this, and I hope they don't get mad at me, but I would really love for Pam and Steve to come forward this morning. So all of us know that Pam and Steve are loved dearly here, and they decided that they wanted better weather, water, cleaner water, I guess. I don't know. Beach resort. They just want to live it up, I guess. But they're... I don't stay there. I have to come back. But they're going to be, you know, they're moving to Galveston, and we love them. And I asked, you know, Jermaine and Michaela to come forward, and we just want to pray for you. And then if, honestly, like, we're family here, amen? So if you want to stretch out your hand, please do so. If you are in any position that you want to come forward, I would love to just put as many hands around them and pray for them this morning. And I'm just going to allow or have Jermaine start us off, and then I'll finish it up whenever you two are done, all right? But let's pray.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you so much for who you are. Lord, you said in your word that when two or more gather together, that you'll dwell in the midst. Here you are with us, Father God. I just thank you for Pam and Steve. I thank you for the ministry, Lord. Decades, Lord, that they have just sowed into this community. Pam teaching, Steve just doing what he does, God. I'm helping out in the back, just being a servant, a leadership, Lord. I just thank you for who they are and what they have done. And I thank you, Lord, that now the seeds that they have planted have taken root. It has grown, and you have watered, and it has been raised up. And we just thank you, Lord, and we just thank you for their steps, Lord, that you order their steps. It's sad that they're leaving, Lord, but it's a new season for them right now, God. And I just pray, Lord, that you just continue to just pour into them, God, order their steps, Lord, and that you just lead them and guide them in the way that they should go. Lord, I just thank you and love them so much, Lord, their ministry, their passion, their heart and love for people. I pray, Lord, that that same fire that's inside of them, Lord, that you would just continue it, Father God. The work that you started in them is the same work, Lord, that you're going to complete, Lord. And I just thank you so much for who you are and what you've done.
Lord, I come in agreement with the prayer said before me, Lord God. We thank you so much for Pam and Steve, Lord, and just all that they are, all that they do. Lord, I pray that you just continue to touch them abundantly, Lord God. I pray that you bless them in ways that they couldn't even imagine, Lord, and just continue to touch their lives and allow them to touch others' lives like they did everyone here in this church, Lord God. Lord, I pray safe traveling mercies as they travel, Lord God. I pray you be with them wherever they are, near or far, Lord God. I pray that they always know they can come back here whenever they want, and we will love on them just the same, Lord God. We pray this all in your name. Amen.
Amen. That was a strategic move.
Okay. This was not my choice. But in the beginning, I had asked God, where do you want us and where do we serve? Do we stay in Antioch or do we go to Galveston? I prayed that for months. I prayed and I cried and I cried and I prayed and I left it up to God. And his timing is always at the last minute, at the least you expect it. But I've said, this is my mantra. I've told some of you already, but this is from the Lord. I don't want the Lord to bless my plans. I want to be blessed by God's plans. And I really believe that he is calling us. And you can tell where you came from by the skid marks behind you, because you don't want to go. It's not my first choice, but I believe and I have to trust that God has a ministry for us and that we're where we're supposed to be. I met the people who bought our house, and I fell in love with them. They are a gracious couple, pastor and his wife, and I feel totally at peace that they're going to live in my house. Well, it's not really my house anymore. And I feel totally at peace. And not that I want to go, but I know God is leading us to go for whatever reason he has for us there. My cousin is not a Christian yet. Okay? She knows God, but she doesn't know God. She knows about God. And so I think that's a ministry. And the church we're going to be going to is called Seawall Church. And the pastor there has claimed the island of Galveston for Christ. And I want to be a part of that. So that's all I have to say. Not that I want to go. Galveston is a great place to visit, and we'll have room for everybody.
And not at the same time.
No. Yeah, not at the same time. But yeah, we'll be coming back, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. We'll come back and visit. That's our plan. Okay, so just so that you know, it's his fault.
Just really quick. It's for the last 34 years I've been in this church. I got married in this church. I met Pam. She followed me when I stepped out to do different things at different churches. I felt a call and move. She's been with me the whole time. But we always came back. This is our home. And I'm not sure how I'm going to be able to follow the slides after I'm going to cry to death here. You'll be missed. The whole family will be missed. You are my family. And like Pam says, we'll have the same phone number, the same email address. We're just a call, a Zoom, a FaceTime away from talking to anybody you. And like I said, we've got a 4-bedroom, 2-bath house that we've purchased. So there'll be at least two bedrooms that we can use for people. Plus there's a lot of hotels and stuff in the area too, but we'd be glad to be tour guides. Just be there and worship with you anytime you want.
Man. Well, they said something there. Well, Pam did. That she doesn't want to go, but they want to follow God. And, you know, it's biblical. Not my will, but yours be done. And I love that we're in the book of Acts. I love that we're talking about this at the beginning of the church. And I just see them answering the call that God has given them to say, you know what? They need more AWC in Galveston. So, but I am going to miss you. I'm going to miss our table talk time, sitting around the table. And Steve, I don't know what I'm going to do next week. Thank you. When I show up at church, because the first thing Steve does when I walk into the office to do a little study time is come sit and chat. And I don't know what to do with myself at that. Someone else is going to have to fill those shoes and come in and grab my attention on Sunday mornings. But, yeah, we're going to miss you. We love you. And, yeah, amen, right? So this morning, we're going to continue on in the book of Acts. And I should probably stop saying that because we're going to be continuing on in the book of Acts for quite a while. But this is going to be the last sermon in Acts before next week. Next week we go into the Advent series, and we're going to do a whole new thing with that. It's going to be great. It's going to be fun. But I love how this coordinates and coincides with, you know, the sermon today, because today we have our Thanksgiving potluck lunch after church. And today we're going to talk about the fellowship of the believers. So throughout the book of Acts, we've talked and we've seen that Pentecost happened. The Spirit came and dwelled. Peter was preaching. And last week, we got to see and hear that the Lord added to their number daily. 3,000 were saved through Peter's preaching. But the next morning happens to all of us, right? And I don't know exactly what they said. I don't know what they were doing. But part of me just feels like some people woke up and went, what now? What now? And that's the same question for us on a Sunday. You know, we have a powerful Sunday. We have a Sunday that we feel renewed, revived. We sing great music. We have some fun. We have some food. We're laughing. And then we wake up on Monday morning and some of us are like, what now? When that fades away, when it's a different feeling, when that excitement, that energy that we had on Sunday, how do we follow up with it on Monday? Amen. But it's just kind of the, imagine being one of those brand new believers that yesterday your life changed. Yesterday you heard a message. Yesterday it pierced your heart. And yesterday you confessed your sins and placed your faith in Jesus Christ. And then you wake up the next morning. No buildings, no programs, no printed Bibles, no church calendar, no live streams, no system. Just you, a saved heart, and a call to follow Jesus through the Spirit. And we all might ask that same question. Even those of us who have been a Christian for a long time might ask that question. What now? What now? What do we do? All right? And I think about it. Think about a wedding day. You know, I'd say a lot of us have either been part of a wedding, went to a wedding, but this couple will stand at the altar. It's an exciting day. Your nerves are going. It's going around. There's emotions. Everything is going on. But people may be crying. Their emotions are high. And the moment feels holy. Promises are made. Joy is overflowing. People are dancing. There's stuff going on. But then the morning comes. And the celebration is over. And now they must live out those vows that they made. And they ask themselves, they might wake up asking, what now? What do we do next? How do we live this out? And this mirrors Acts 2, that the Spirit fell. Peter preached. The hearts were pierced. People responded. But day one of actually living out their new faith may start with the question, what now? So the next morning is where the journey begins. You know, God invites us to move, to grow, to follow him, to live the life Jesus saved us for. And church, before we go any further, we have to remember, hear this. Everything today, everything that we talk about flows from grace, not our own strength. So when we wake up in the morning and we say, what now? Remember who is with you now. Remember who's on your side now. So we don't devote ourselves to God so God will love us. We devote ourselves to God because God already loves us. So we're not trying to earn his approval. We're living with his grace that he's already given us. And that's what we're asking now. So if this is where Acts 2 is, where verse 42 through 47 begins, revival happened in verse 41, and life happens now in verse 42. So if last week was about being saved, the last couple weeks that we've talked about is about being saved and accepting Christ into your heart and all that stuff, then today becomes a day about being shaped. How does God want to shape you? So that same Spirit that fills the upper room for them begins shaping their everyday routines, begins shaping their life. And Pentecost wasn't the end. That was just the beginning. That was the beginning of the church. So the church didn't stop after this miracle taking place. It started glowing with new rhythms in their life. It started acting and living in fellowship, worship, love, joy. So the same God that moved in them is now forming their habits. He's forming their lives, their relationships, their gatherings, and he's rearranging their priorities. And this is a blueprint for how a church becomes in motion, how we become a church in our own life that is in motion for Jesus Christ. So you and I cannot live on our own, but instead we live through Jesus Christ now. So that morning when we wake up, when we say, "What now?" we remember, "What now, Jesus? What now, Lord? What would you like me to do today, God?" And remember that without Jesus, before all this, before we accept Christ, without Jesus, our devotion becomes duty. It's just, we have to do this. We have to live this way. This is what we're told to do. This is how my parents tell me to act. All this stuff. But when Jesus enters the room, when Jesus enters your heart, it goes from duty to joy. So when I'm sitting here and when we're all sitting here studying or going out and talking to people or serving on a mission trip, anything that we're doing, it's no longer, "Oh, we have to do this. This is what we're doing." It's no, we get to do this. We get to serve our Almighty Father. And we are a part of this family. And this matters to us because this momentum is real. That momentum that starts in the church is real. We feel it in our heart, our faith, our home, our church. And momentum is either going to move you forward, but when momentum stops, it stops. So Newton's first law, we're going to get a little school in here. Newton's first law says that an object in motion stays in motion. And an object at rest stays at rest unless acted upon by an external force. And the external force for the church is the Holy Spirit. So the question for us is simple. What now for Antioch Wesleyan Church? And I don't think Newton's first law was thought to be, "Oh, it's going to get spiritual." A lot of times people are like, church, science, doesn't mix. Well, I see Newton's first law fit pretty well. But what does a spirit-filled church look like when we begin to move? So after verse 41, when it says, "Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number daily." That's where we start today. Verse 42. Let's read together. "So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." Let's walk through this. But really quick, I want to point this out because if I forget it, I'd regret it. A lot of times, as a church, and I am guilty of this, because we look at our church and we say, "How do we grow? How do we do things? How do we make it better? How do we invite people? How do we make it exciting for somebody? Do we need to do different music? Do we need to have an event? What do we do, right? What now? What do we do?" There's nothing that we have ever read that says, because of your event, because of your potluck, because of your thing, because of your lights, because of the amount of TVs that you have, that the church grew. It tells us plainly, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. When we trust God, when we give God our heart, when we follow God, when we live out our life and say, your will be done, not my own, God adds to the number daily by being faithful. We just need to follow the Lord. So our first slide, where it begins, it's the devotion that defined the church. So Luke starts with that word, devotion. They devoted themselves. They didn't drift into faith. They didn't just casually cruise in. They devoted themselves to it. They were hungry for the Lord. So the Greek word is proskatereo. Ooh, I got that first try. Amen. Holy Spirit, speak. And it means to continue steadfast, to persist, to stay committed over time. And this is important because the early believers did not chase emotional highs. They didn't chase all these things and all this grand facade. They built spiritual habits. So when we go through this, and if somebody's going to ask, what now, after that day, after that day comes and you accept Christ, you've gone to the youth event, you've gone to the church service, you've gone to all these things, you've accepted the call, you've prayed the prayer, and you said, okay, Lord, I've accepted you into my heart. You wake up the next morning and you're like, what now? We are told what to do. That's what I love about the Bible. If I don't know, I'm going to go to the Word. And I'm going to search and be like, what do I do with this information? How do I figure it out? So when we say, what now? We are now told what to do. We fellowship. So they built spiritual habits, and Luke lists four of them. First, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were hungry for truth. They wanted to know Jesus Christ. They wanted to know and let his word shape their heart and mind. They want to know him. And a church in motion is a church where the Bible stays open. It is through his word that we build that momentum. Where the word of God is front and center, we devote ourselves to the teaching of his word to shape our life. And we follow it together. Amen? Secondly, they devoted themselves to fellowship. And then this, I'm doing some Greek words today, and I'm, all right? They devoted themselves to fellowship, which is, it's pronounced koinonia. I'm two for two. This is great. It's a good day. All right? And it means sharing, participating, living together. Partnering, living as common life. So it's not just casual social time. They didn't meet together to just say, hey, how's it going? What's up? What's new? Cool. See you next Sunday. See you next week. See you next time. It was not a time for that. It was a time for shared burdens, shared meals, shared prayer. Shared time, shared faith. It's the kind of community where people say, you are not alone. You are our family. Your hurt is my hurt. Your pain is my pain. Let's walk through this together. What can I do for you? How can I help you? So we don't want to be a church that comes together casually. We don't want to be a church that just says, we'll see you next Sunday. We want to be a church that's a family and stays together throughout the week and commits to each other. And church, I know we do this. I know we all have different schedules. We have different things going on. Life happens. I know that we all don't gather like this every single day, every week. But I know it's happening. I know I hear about people coming over and sitting in each other's homes and hanging out with each other. I see the pictures online with like Jermaine and his Bible study group and them getting together. It is happening. And that's us being family. So the church is a family. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And they committed themselves to each other. And three, they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. And this includes both communion when we have communion Sunday, but also meals that they shared with remembrance. Jesus was not only celebrated at the table, he was remembered at the table through conversation and in that time together in their meals. They centered their homes around Jesus. So, just like our Thanksgiving lunch today, I want to encourage everyone to do this. I don't care what table you sit at. I don't care what group you're going to be in. After you grab your food, you know, because we usually pray at the end of service, right? Because I know you guys. Who's first in line? Let's run. I want that big chunk of turkey. So we pray before we go in on Sundays. But I want to encourage you to do something today. Don't just go sitting there and chit-chat about the other stuff. About, yes, share life together. How's it going? How's your week been? How's your life been? What's going on? But I want to challenge every single one of us to do something. Somebody take charge at your table, amen? And I want you to say, how's Jesus in your life? Let's bring God back to the table. Because when we say amen in here, we don't stop mentioning him in there. So while we're sitting around the table, let's just take a few minutes. Be with God at the table. Share the burdens that you may have. Grab each other's hands and say a prayer together before your table eats. But let's bring God to the center of that. So they centered themselves around Jesus. And they devoted themselves forth to prayer. So prayer wasn't an add-on to them. Think about it. Prayer was their oxygen. Prayer was their lifeline to God. And I'm going to ask you something with love. Okay? It's something, if you guys have ever been around our district superintendent, Mike Score, something he always tells us, Lee may have heard him say this, but he steps into a room and he's always like, my name's Mike, and I'm your friend, and I love you. My name's Ian, I'm your friend, and I love you. But I want to tell you something. Morning. How many of us depend on prayer? How many of us live prayer? If prayer was their oxygen, if prayer was their lifeline, how many of us would have passed out this week because we went way too long without prayer, without connecting with Christ? Did you go Sunday to Sunday? Was that you prayed last Sunday, you prayed this Sunday? Or are you making prayer your lifeline? So the early church could not survive without coming together and praying. So many of us strive without it all the time. We live without it. Other than let's pray for dinner. Let's pray for this quick thing. A lot of us just, it's a second thought. So let's bring prayer back. So Luke shows us that when the excitement and everything at Pentecost stopped, and the next day happened, they devoted themselves to the teaching. They devoted themselves to each other. They fellowshipped with each other. They broke bread together. And they devoted themselves to prayer. And Luke continues by showing the result of these devotions. First, teaching produced awe. The more people got to Christ, close to Christ, the more they learned about Christ, the more in awe of Christ they were. So we need to get to the Lord. We need to be present with him. The word created wonder, and miracles confirmed that message. Truth awakened their hearts. And then secondly, fellowship produced unity and generosity. The more they hung out, the more they helped each other. The more they learned about each other. They met the needs and lived together with spirit-filled compassion for each other. And in verse 46, they broke bread, which produced joy and sincerity. Their joy grew together because Jesus was the center of their homes. It was the center of their life. It was the center of their meals. It was the center of their fellowship. Jesus was the center. So they were in awe of learning about him. They came together and were joyful that Jesus was a part of their life. And then prayer produced praise and growth. So coming together, they helped each other needs through prayer. They leaned on each other through prayer. They created support. They created a spirit of posture and worship. And their worship drew others to Jesus because of how devoted they were. This church, look around us. The world that we live in is hungry for truth. People are looking for truth. They're going to find it whether it's true or not. They're going to find something that they call their truth. People are hungry. They're tired of being lied to and exhausted by false promises. They're tired. And that's the world that was in Acts 2. And that is still the world that we live in today. Our world is no different. It's the same kind of world that has surrounded those first believers. And it's a world full of confusion, a world full of questions, a world full of what nows? What do we do? What ifs? It's a world that's desperately needing hope and direction. And once these believers, once the Spirit moved, once 3,000 people were saved, they didn't launch a big event. They didn't throw a big party. They didn't start all these theatrics or try to create the next exciting thing that might draw in the next crowd. They did something way more powerful than that. They got close together and devoted themselves to Jesus. They devoted themselves to the teaching, to fellowship, breaking bread, and to prayer. And church, hear this. Growth did not occur because they tried to grow. Growth came because they devoted themselves to Jesus Christ. And because they devoted themselves to Jesus, the world was drawn to their devotion. Because the world is asking for answers. The world is seeking truth. And when they find a church that is speaking it, living it, and community, and we're together and we're living it out and we love each other, people are drawn to that. So Acts 2 reminds us that the secret to growth has never been a specific strategy. It has always been devotion. Jesus. The true devotion awakens hungry hearts. And that devotion draws people towards Jesus. Because remember, how did last week end? Did it say the church added to their number daily? Did it say the event added to their number daily? Did it say that their theatrical music, all this worship added to their number daily? No. It says that the Lord added to their number daily. So where is our devotion right now? How will we live this out at AWC? You know, Jesus is the one that transforms hearts. So, where is our devotion right now? What step is Jesus calling you to take or us to take as a church? Because these four devotions that set them in this path forward is the four devotions we have. One, teaching. We make scripture central. We're going to preach it clearly like we do. We're studying it faithfully. And we build our ministries on the Word of God. And we keep that central. Because when the Word is followed, awe follows. And then two, fellowship. We share life. We continue to share burdens. We continue to share meals. We build a family. We pray for each other. We talk to one another. We ask each other how we're doing. How can I pray for you this week? I think sometimes a lot of us are scared to approach someone else and talk to them about their life because in our own, especially men, let's just be honest, we're fixers a lot of times. So when we hear it, we want to I'm nervous because I can't fix that. It's not our job. It is not our job to fix it. It's our job to pray together, to be together, to be devoted to Christ. So bring it in. Share your burdens, share your struggles, share your life, and grab each other's hands, put your head down and pray together. Continually pray. And then devotion three, breaking bread. We will keep Jesus the center of everything, like I said, at your table. Bring Jesus to the table with you. Say one thing. What has Jesus done in your life this week? Communion, testimonies, worship, homes that are filled with grace. Because when Jesus Christ is lifted high, then joy follows. And then we pray together. We pray like we expect God to move. We pray because we know God answers. We pray because we're faithful to leaning on Him. We cry out to Him. So when prayer becomes our culture in the church, praise becomes our atmosphere, and God draws people to Himself. So God becomes the center of everything we do. The Word becomes the center of everything we do. And God will draw people to Himself, not to something else, to an event. So Luke right here is creating this rhythm for us that teaching created awe, fellowship created unity, breaking bread created joy, and peace created praise and growth. So the church did not grow because it was trendy. It grew because it was devoted. And their private devotion became their public witness because that is just simply how they live their life. Their inside life became their outward impact. So if we want to see God move in Antioch Wesleyan Church the same way He moved in Jerusalem, all throughout Judea and the world, it will not start with what is our next program, what is the next plan, what is the next worship list. It's not going to start with that. It will start with our devotion. True devotion, costly devotion. The kind of devotion that says, Lord, whatever you want, I say, Lord, you want me to move to Galveston? I say, yes. Obedience and devotion to Him. So church, a question that the early believers may have asked is what now? When they woke up the next morning. But we have a clear example of what to do. And maybe you're struggling with that today. Maybe you're struggling with that in your life. I'm going to invite the worship team up as we close this. But the same spirit that moved for them in Acts 2 is the same spirit that moves in us today. And if you're sitting here going, what now? What do I do? There is these five verses in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Write it down. Verse 42 through 47. And if you ever catch yourself saying, what now? What do I do? I don't feel this uppity spirit. I don't feel the excitement that I felt on that one Sunday. I don't feel the excitement that I felt at that youth camp or that concert I went to. I don't feel it. What now? Read those five verses over and over again. Devote yourself to the teaching of the word. Fellowship together. Find a community. If you're not in a community outside of Sunday services, let's build one. Where two or more are gathered, amen. All throughout the week, let's invite each other over. If it's just one or two, that's fine. Fellowship together. Break bread together like we're going to do right now after service. And pray together. Because a church that is devoted to the word comes together, helps each other out, and prays together is the church that God will bring people to. But it starts with us. How devoted are we to God? Let's be honest. How devoted are we? We show up on Sunday, 2 hours, whoop-de-doo. We have a great time. I love it. I wouldn't trade it for the world. I love it. But on Monday morning, what are you doing? Who are you talking to? Who are you praying with? Who do you fellowship with? What does your life look like? Because is Jesus the center of your table? Or does Jesus stay in this room and you walk away from him for the week? Let's be a church that I know we are, that is devoted to growing in his knowledge and his word. But let's step it up. And let's be more faithful. Let's be together more. Let's help each other out more. Let's carry each other's burdens more. Let's pray together. And let's seek God together. Amen? Let's pray.